Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to 2 Timothy tonight. I want to look at chapter 4 this evening. As we begin the next in our series that we've been doing on the Christian and we're going to be dealing with the Christian and the age of the itching ears. We are living in very troubling times. We are watching Christian colleges, we're watching Christian schools, we're watching churches lowering their standards, changing things. I was talking to Brandon this afternoon. We went out to lunch together, and he attended a college up in North Carolina, and he said, my senior year, they announced big sweeping changes that were coming the next year. He said, I went and already signed up to come back to work on my master's degree, and when I got back, said all the old teachers were gone. They had a whole bunch of new teachers, and they had changed everything. They changed the music. They changed the doctrinal stance of the college. And he said, I had about 3 or 4 months of it. And he said, I had to leave. I couldn't take it anymore. And I went to the administration and said, why all the changes? And he said, all I was told was that if you can't adapt, then leave. If you can't adapt, then leave. That right there is the spirit of the age. If you cannot adapt to what the culture is saying is so in the moment, because it never stays the same. It's always changing. It's always moving to something else, because the culture is never happy with the choice that they've made. Have you noticed that? They never are happy with the choice that they made. They always have to go deeper into something else. Something new. If you don't adapt, or you cannot adapt, then leave. We want people who are adapting. We want people that are flexible. People that are tolerant. Now, those are all the catchwords of the age, and it's all part of the age of itching ears that the Apostle Paul, by pen of inspiration, shared with the church 2,000 years ago. He warned Timothy of it in his day, so things were already beginning in Timothy's day because he was being warned to look out for that. So we know that in every age, in every culture, there is this spirit and attitude of wanting to have the ears tickled. Tell me what I want to hear. Give me what I want to hear. And the Christian has a responsibility to respond to the warning properly. Why did God give this warning? Well, let's look here in our passage of Scripture, beginning at verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee. Now stop for just a moment. What did he just say? I charge thee. In other words, what I'm saying to you is not optional. What I'm saying to you is very, very important. Take this as an order. All right? I charge thee. Now, you can either respond to the order that's given with a proper attitude and a proper heart and say, yes, sir, and get at it. Or you respond, well, you can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me how to think. I'll do what I want to. Well, that rebel spirit is the undoing of everything that is right. Mark it down. Why is the Antichrist going to be so successful in bringing the love of the whole world his way? It's because he's going to tickle their ears. He's going to tell them what they want to hear. He's going to make it so that it's like a siren song that just plays their music. And they love to hear it. And they're going to follow whatever it says to do. Kind of like reminds you of Daniel's time whenever they played the music for worshiping the idol. And they said, get this, the order came down. When the music starts, what do you do next? Not optional. You bow down. And there were some young men that didn't bow. There were three of them that stood there. I don't know where Daniel was at the time, but we have three Hebrew children that were out there, and they didn't bow. They were standing. And they came back and they said, "No option. When the music starts, you bow down to this idol." And they didn't bow. And so what happened? They were ordered, "You're going to be executed because you didn't do what we told you to do." The same attitude is there today. It's prevalent in the church. It's prevalent in the world. It's prevalent, sadly, on some of our college, Christian college campuses, where you don't do this, you're not welcome here. Now, why do they have to do that? It's mass conformity to change. And they're not going to be happy until they make you do it that way. And if you refuse on principle, you're the problem. Leave. Isn't that sad? That's where we are today in the culture, in the Christian culture, where you have to, when the music's played, you got to bow. And three men dared to stand up. And so they were rushed off there. The men that carried these three men up to the fiery furnace to be destroyed, they died in the process of delivering them. And the three men were seen walking around inside the fire. And the king noticed something. "Did we not cast three into the burning fire? I see a fourth individual." And then this very interesting thing. What did he add? "His likeness is that of the Son of God." Even a pagan king saw God there with those men. And when they came forth out of the fire, after the king called them forth out of the fire, the Bible says that not even the stench of a fire was on them. I want to tell you something. I've been around a lot of campfires over the years. And it's an amazing thing. When you sit by a campfire, you know what you smell like when you come inside? You smell like a campfire. All right? No matter what you're burning, you're going to smell like that. You're burning pecan, you're going to smell like a pecan tree. You're burning pine, you're going to smell like pine. I wouldn't recommend burning pine because you're going to get splattered with pitch. But if you burn oak, you're going to smell like oak. You're burning leaves, you're going to smell like leaves. You have it on there. But these men came forth from the fire that should have destroyed them, and they came forth living. Why? Because they obeyed the Son of God. They didn't bow down when the music was played. Now there's a lesson, folks. Are you listening to God's Word? Wow, we've got to be accommodating. We won't be accepted. We won't be relevant in this world if we're not accommodating. Did those men accommodate the evil? That's what it was. It was evil. So we're going to play our music and you're going to bow down to the God that we have out here that we've said is the God. You can't bow before your God. You have to bow before our God. You see, that's the interesting thing about the wicked mind. They're not content for you to believe what you believe. They're only content if you bow down to them. Now pay attention, Christian. This is what's here now. Are you going to have enough character to stand up for the Lord? Let's continue on here in this passage of Scripture. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing, and His kingdom." Oh, what a reminder. I'm going to have to give an account. I'm going to have to stand before God and before His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to give an account for what I did in this life. Have we forgotten that today? We obviously have. When people can deny the clear teachings of God's Word and promote their own teachings and their own ideas and opinions about what the Bible says, obviously we don't believe what God said clearly. And He said, "I'm going to judge. I'm going to judge you. Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts." Now listen. after their own desires. That's the word lust there. What they want. After their own desires shall they heap to themselves teachers. And then our phrase here, having itching ears. Father in heaven, I pray that you would teach us from your word tonight. Oh, how we need the truth of your word. We're living in these days that were prophesied. Days in which people say, you have to do what we say. And if you don't accept it, then we're going to destroy you. We're going to ruin you. We're going to jail you. And even we're going to kill you. And it means that we as Christians have got to make a choice. Are we going to follow the Word of God like we say we do? Or are we going to go back and we're going to revisit the Bible and come up with different interpretations so that we can coax our own conscience into thinking that it's all right to do what we want to do? Father, I pray that you would teach us about the age of the itching ear. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The age of the itching ears. Now, this whole phrase, itching ears, is what we call an anthropomorphism. It's the attribution of human, physical, emotional, or intentional traits to thoughts or ideas. Now, it's not talking about literal ears itching, and we want people to scratch them. So this is an anthropomorphism. It's saying, I'm sharing with you a physical trait that you can identify with, but I want you to get the spiritual understanding. I want you to grasp it. All right? So what is he saying here? Well, itching. Very interesting Greek word that we have here. Kathomenoi is the Greek word that's used there. And it's the idea of having an itching ear. Ears itch when there is earwax moving in the canal. And it makes contact with the little tiny fibrous hairs that are embedded all through the ear canal that sweep the ear of dust and dirt that would come in and do harm to the eardrum. And so as the earwax goes to flush this out, secretes that, it creates a tingling within the ear that causes your ear to itch. And you know, I've got to clean my ears out. All right, it's that sensation that's there. It's a present participle signifying a present continual action occurring. In other words, this is not a one-time event that characterizes the age in which the Apostle Paul is instructing Timothy concerning. It's not a one-time, it's an ongoing thing. And by the way, it's been ongoing now for 2,000 years because he warned Timothy 2,000 years ago about this. So it's something that's been going on, and in the last days especially, it's going to be very prevalent. And oh, how we see it in every avenue of culture. Dr. Watt touched on this in Sunday school with the men dealing with this, about how the culture for the last 40, 50 years has been building up this whole concept of toxic masculinity. It's not something new. The term was coined years ago. But it's something that is being regurgitated on society again, and we're bringing this out, an intolerance for anybody that follows a biblical mandate about what it means to be a man is targeted, being targeted. Now, let's look over to itching of the ears. Akone is the Greek word for ear. Akone translates to ear or the sense of hearing. The use of akone is often regarding an inner spiritual hearing. Taking in the truth that God gives and understanding it and putting it into practice within the life. All right, that's what hearing refers to in the New Testament, Old Testament. In Romans 10 and verse 17, akone is used, the Greek root. Used after hearing. Faith cometh by, finish it, hearing. And by the Word of God. Akone is used there for the translation of hearing. It is the act of hearing and is described as an action caused by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's a response to the Word of God. Let's go deeper in that. It's a response to the authority of the Word of God. There's only one kind of obedience in the Bible. Voice obedience. And the voice of God speaks in His living Word. And we are to respond to the authority of that Word. You know what our problem is today in society? Is that we hate authority. Do you know why we're having so many problems on our college campuses? With all of the rioting and all of the actions that are going on. We look at, have you seen the pictures of the streets of San Francisco? Have you seen all of the people squatting on the sidewalks with their tent cities now developing? There used to be a rule in the city, you can't do that, but they now allow it. Oh, that was a terrible law. They have now thousands of workers that are hired to do nothing more than to remove human feces from off the sidewalks. They also have signs that they have put up in the city, do not use the water fountains. Because all of these people are using the water fountains to urinate. You know what that is? Let's stop for just a moment. You know what that is? That's lawlessness. That's lawlessness. A toleration, instead of having a law that's practiced where these people are moved out, and some of them have mental health issues, some of them are homeless, but that's not the way to solve the problem, is it? By just allowing them to just go wherever they want to go and do whatever they want to do. But you see, a liberal mindset creates that kind of mentality. It's also happening in New York City. New York City now has sections of it that they recommend you don't go to because it smells so badly and you may get some kind of a bacterial infection because of all of those living in there and defecating and all. It's just awful. It's lawlessness. We don't like authority. We don't like authority in schools anymore. We don't like rules. We don't like standards. And so what do we parents do? They squawk and they fight against any kind of a standard. My child shouldn't be punished for this or that. Well, your child was cheating. Everybody cheats, don't you know that? Disregard for what? Law and order. Truth and telling the truth and not cheating on a test to get your grade, but studying for a test to get your grade. But what are we having now? Oh, we're doing away with all these rules and regulations. Itching of the ears. Tell me what I want to hear. Play for me what I want to hear. All right? That's where we stand today. Let's move on. Paul the Apostle wrote 2 Timothy for Timothy. This was the last epistle that Paul wrote before he died, before he was executed. Many scholars call it the swan song of the Apostle Paul. He did so to exhort Timothy in his pastoral ministry, in his preaching ministry, in his leadership position. With the context of chapter 4, verse 2, Paul charges Timothy to preach. All right? He said, be ready, instant in season, out of season. Correct bad behavior. Rebuke bad behavior, bad doctrine. Correct it, make it right, and exhort. Each charge is in the active tense or the active verb, in the aorist imperative tense, implying that Paul is making a declarative, strong, one-time statement to Timothy. Is he going to write Timothy again? That's why the aorist tense is used there. This is a one-time statement he's basically making here. It has continuing effects. But he's saying, Timothy, I'm telling you this. You got to preach the Word. You got to be instant in season, out of season. You got to be ready. You got to deal with those errors that will come up in the church. Because as I've said, and he told the believers there, the Ephesus leaders, when he was on the island of Miletus in Acts chapter 20, he warned them, there's going to be wolves that come in the church and they're going to tear up the flock. Better be paying attention. Better be on your toes, because he's not going to be writing again. He's going to die. for the cause of Christ. Paul continues in chapter 4, verse 3, by describing a time, describing a period of time that would be characterized by people not listening, but rather seeking out teachers that they would listen to. Now get there, this is very interesting. They seek out teachers who are religious. They're not done with religion. They're seeking out teachers who are religious, but they teach things that they like to hear. In other words, please share with us. I shared with you about this new Calvinism that's going on. And I told you about this Kirsten Powers, who used to be a Fox News correspondent, and she would speak from time to time. She's now, I think, with MSNBC, and she's on there quite regularly. But she attended a church there in New York City called Redeemer Presbyterian. And in that church, Tim Keller is the pastor. And she was interviewed, why do you go to this church? And this is what she said. I like his interpretation of the Bible. I have rejected much of the interpretation of the Bible that I was taught as a child, but I like his interpretations of the Bible. You know what she's doing? She's heaping to herself teachers having itching ears. He has a view of the Bible that I like. It's a tolerance toward wrongdoing. It's okay to go out and have an indiscretion every once in a while, because God's grace will just flood in, and His grace will be more wonderful and more glorious because now it moves in around your sin that you committed, and God will be glorified by that, and it's a direct violation of the Word of God. Shall we sin that grace may abound? And what was Paul's response through the Holy Spirit of God? It wasn't, well, maybe. It might. What does God's Word say? God forbid. Some of the strongest language in the Greek language used there. God forbid. Let it not happen. Let it not be so. Sin that grace can abound. And yet that's the interpretation, the spin that's put on the Word of God. And people say, oh, I like that. I like that. Bring on more teaching like that. They will not listen to sound doctrine. Paul uses the phrase, for a time will come, hestai, which translates more closely, there will be. It's in the third person indicative verb in the future tense, which signifies a warning for Timothy that the church of Christ on earth will not change for the better. And this is where I cross paths with a lot of my contemporaries that are on college campuses, some of the ones I went to school with, that say that's not true. The best days of the church are ahead. You're creating controversy by saying that, but I just read the Bible. There will come a time where they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, not heaping to themselves teachers that teach the Bible, but spin their interpretation of the Bible. This is important, folks. Because this will affect you in the music you listen to. It will affect you in who you listen to on the radio, television, internet, all the different social media platforms that are out there. Be careful that you know your Bible well enough, because they may be teaching error. They may be teaching error. And if you don't know your Bible like you should, you'll start following because it sounds good. It sounds good. All right? We're almost done here for tonight. The itching ear. Paul uses the analogy of having an itching ear to show that people, not just teachers, people are the ones seeking something new aside from apostolic teaching. They're seeking something new. This is the era of the age. We got to have something new. Don't give us that old stuff. And yet, what does the Bible tell us in Jeremiah chapter 6? Seek ye the old paths, wherein are the good ways. Oh, people are crying out, we don't want old paths. Are you kidding me? We got to have something new. We got to breathe in some new things to the church. We're just doing the old stuff. We got to have new stuff. Watch it. You've just swallowed hook, line, and sinker. the spirit of the Antichrist. You've just swallowed it. Don't take my word for it. Read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Okay? The epistles are 1st John, 2nd John, and 3rd John, and you will be taught exactly what that warning is all about over and over again. I want you to listen to Matthew Poole, pastor and theologian from the past. He says this concerning the cause and effect of an itching ear. Their ears itch, and they must have those who will scratch them. The disease of lust in their souls brings forth an itch in their ears, that they will have a mind to hear only such as will be scratchingly pleasing to them. All right? That will scratch and will bring a pleasing. My cat loves to have her ears scratched. Okay? I've got an old cat, Muffin. We've got a new cat, too, that took up in our yard a few weeks ago. And lives over in our azalea bushes and comes out a couple of times a day to announce that it's time to be fed and watered. And didn't even send us a note saying, hey, I'm coming to live with y'all. Just showed up. And both of them, love, boy, they come up and they start nussing. I went over to Dad's house today, and Smokey, the most violent cat that's ever lived, that used to scratch us like crazy and hiss at us every time we walked in the house, I was sitting in a chair, and she hopped up on the table, and she came over, and she started nussing on me. So I very slowly reached my hand up there, and I started rubbing behind her ears, and she started meowing and so forth like that. And I said, Pop, is this the same cat? You know? She used to scratch our kids and hiss at us when we came by, but she's gotten a little more gentle as the years have gone by. And my cat will sit up in my lap, and I'll just rub her ears, and she'll go, meow, meow, approvingly. Keep doing it. And when you stop, now get this, when you stop, the head turns and you get the look. Hey, what are you doing? Did you go to sleep? Let's get with it. Put the hand back up there and start scratching my ear. So you start scratching again. And then I have enough of it, okay? My hand's getting tired, and my 95-pound cat, I take her off, and I put her down on the ground. Go to your room! You know, give me a disapproving little growl, and off she goes, all right? She's perfectly happy as long as the ears are getting tickled. But when you stop, she's off. She's going off to somebody else. See if one of the boys will do it. Or maybe Lizzie. She'll go and find out one of them and see if she can't get them to take care of the scratching, loving, that kind of stuff. What? My cat is the Antichrist. Okay? My cat, perfect illustration. She loves, and she expects that her ears are going to be tickled. And that's where we are in this age. Now, folks, I'm telling you, this disease of the lusts in their souls, that's where it starts, down in the heart. Down in the heart. And it moves to the hearing and says, I want my ears tickled. We're going to develop this, folks, because we're going to take it into the area of music. We're going to talk about doctrine, too. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to make the application into music because we have set aside music from doctrine. And people today, I'm going to read to you some theologians and pastors that are online and what they have to say about music, and you won't find any roots in the Bible. Oh, they'll make some appeal. They love to quote Romans 14. And they love, you know, 1 Corinthians 6, you know, and that, you know, we ought to get along with each other and whatever. And so they apply that to music. Oh, we don't have to worry about music. You listen to whatever you want to each his own. That's the phrase that this particular pastor used. To each his own. Is that what the Bible says about doctrine? Does the Bible say about doctrine to each his own? No. Does it say to each his own about the Bible principles that are laid down? Obviously not. And so we're going to develop that, folks, because false teaching abounds today about music. And we've swallowed hook, line, and sinker, the lie. And I want to teach you as your pastor about this matter of music. It's not amoral and it's not neutral. There's right music and there's wrong music, just like there's right actions and wrong actions. Don't lie to yourself. Don't make yourself think, well, that doesn't apply to music. That's the itching ear that's talking. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd work in the hearts and lives of our people. Lord, I want us to anchor our souls to your word, not to the culture. It's the culture that's saying all of these things. That music is immoral, that music is neutral, that there's no wrong music, there's only right music. Lord, I pray that you might help us to understand that there is wrong music and there is right music. There's wrong doctrine and right doctrine. There's wrong words and there's right words. In everything in life, help us, dear Father, not to turn the Word of God upside down to fit the culture. Help us to understand that we need to be turned right side up so that we're fit for heaven. I pray that you might teach us from your Word, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.